right, everybody, welcome to Playhouse Unplugged. This is Danny B. Man, it's a gorgeous day outside, and I tell you what, I don't want to really be inside, but I got my man and myth legend, Mr. Wendell Wilson, in the house today. What's up, Wendell?
Hey, everybody. I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, man, this is good. You having a good time out there tonight?
Out where? No, inside.
Of course, yeah, we're all inside.
Inside.
We're just looking out the window is what I was saying. You know what I'm saying? Of course not, people. We're about way over 6 feet apart here in the studio. So
at least.
Just to give you kind of an idea of what Wendell, he's done, he's been an actor for the Playhouse for 3 years?
About 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, wow, 3 years. So what really got you into acting in the first place?
It was an accident, actually.
No kidding.
I was in California. I'd been in California, up in Northern California, for maybe 3 years.
Right.
And I didn't really know anybody still. I had a few friends, but I just was working my job and going home. And one day I realized that that's all I was doing was working and going home. So I had this newspaper and it said, come down for improv lessons. So I said, what the heck? So I went and I liked it, got really involved with the company. It was called Improv Works.
Oh, cool.
Sue Walden is the woman who runs it. And started working in the office, trading for improv lessons. And I met one of my teachers there. She also was a director, and she did community theater up in Marin County. Well, she asked me to come up and audition for a show, which, for the life of me, I cannot remember. That's how long ago it was. We're talking, it's been at least 25 years.
Yeah, I believe they're using granite and tablets back then, right?
I know, man.
That's the true definition of a tablet right there.
So, came up and did the show, and it was the best, worst experience I ever had in my entire life for reasons I will keep to myself to protect the innocent and not so innocent. And I decided I was never going to act again after that show. It was just horrible. And it wasn't because of me or the cast. It was individuals I had to deal with.
Right.
And they made it. I was driving 150 miles a day up to, from, I lived on the peninsula. I drove up to Marin County to rehearse. And in the morning, I would drive all the way down to San Jose to work, then back up to Marin County, then home. And that was my route for like 2.5 months.
And people don't understand, Marin County is in San Francisco Bay. So that's a long drive.
Yeah. And so I said, if I'm going to be doing all this, I better enjoy myself. I'm not getting paid. I'm out. So I was about to quit. And I was approached by another director to do a show with, I met someone, which is, you know.
Right.
And she had a 12-year-old daughter, and all three of us just instantly fell in love with each other. All three of us did the show together.
That's awesome.
Which was awesome. That's how I met them. I met them doing the show.
It's like a family affair right
and,
there.
And we ended up, she was in another company, and she said, you have to come to the show with me. I'm like, what are you talking about? She says, we're doing hair. I'm like, okay, that's great. You're doing hair. You're 13. What exactly am I going to do? No. They want you to come.
All right.
They want you to come because we need a black guy. Now, here's the
thing. Are you kidding me?
Now, if you don't know anything about Marin County, back in, I'm just joking, people. No, maybe not.
We're joking.
But anyway, no, we're not. But it was a company called Katie Musical Theater. They were doing hair.
Right.
And she really just wanted me to come. They really wanted a black guy to play HUD. And they had, I was going to be the oldest person in the cast, which was weird because they were all kids. But they needed a black person to play HUD. I was literally, my then girlfriend's daughter said, I've got a black guy. No joke. That's what she said to him. I have a black guy. This kid, Madeline, is amazing, beautiful. She's graduated Northwestern. She's an amazing actress herself. But so I went and I just was going for HUD. And the director liked me so much that she said, let's take two parts and put them together. And I became Burger and HUD. So HUD pretty much disappeared. I became Burger. So that was the first time I did hair.
Nice.
I actually played Burger. That was my second show ever. And that was how it started. But after that production, I fell in love with theater. And I literally went from show to show. I was in a show, rehearsing a show. I would go right into another show, rehearsing. And I became known. And so I didn't audition for stuff. Directors would come to me.
Wow.
Say, can you be in this show? Can you be in this show? Can
That's
you be in
awesome.
This show? Yeah, until I got, you know, started doing big stuff. I don't know if you know the Mountain Play in Marin County. It's up on top of Mount Tamalpais.
Oh, cool.
It's a 400, I'm sorry, 4,000 seat amphitheater.
That's awesome.
And that was the
that
second
time. That must have been an experience.
That was the second time I did Hair. They did Hair on the anniversary of Hair. What was it, the 30th anniversary, I believe it was?
No kidding.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. But that we did that one. So, and it was to a packed house. Like, we had people sitting in the trees. It was just like sitting in the trees, people everywhere. It was a really beautiful experience.
That is awesome. Yeah. And of course, people don't know, they can't see in the studio. Wendell is actually bald, too. He's got his head shaved. So
yes,
I'm looking. He's talking all about this hair thing, and I'm just focusing that you don't have any right now.
Dude,
so.
I'll send you the picture. No kidding. I wore a wig.
Oh, I, of course. Yeah.
Duh.
But so how long ago was that between the two?
Between the two? I have to say it's about close to 10 years.
Wow. So the reason why I'm asking that question is because there's a lot of actors that just quit and when they can't. And when it goes tough, they don't get the main role and things like that. And your perseverance and stick-to-itiveness, you know, 10 years later, bam, you're a star in Marin College.
Yeah, let's say 8 years.
8 years.
But yes, I was a star. And
yes, he was a star. We're going to make sure we get that point. He was a star.
Did you hear that, people? I was a star.
He was a star.
That's right. So
that's awesome. So what after Hair?
Well, there that was kind of near the that was heading into the middle of my acting arc, which is still going up as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
I've done so. When I say I literally was in a show, rehearsing a show, then the show would go up. I'd be rehearsing. That's what I did. There was one time where I was in a show and rehearsing two shows at the same time. They just were going to be going up at different times when I could do both of them.
Wow.
So I averaged about 4 shows a year, which if you know anything about acting is
I know nothing about acting.
I'm just saying I was talking to your audience. You know, Jesus, not
I'm
all about
joking.
You.
I'm just
it's about me.
But anyway, no, I know
so,
what you're saying.
I've done my top favorite show is Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, that must have been fun.
I've done that 3 times.
Uh-huh.
I was the plant. I was the puppeteer. I was pod number 1, which is the first little one you see. I was pod number 3, which is the one that sings Feed Me Seymour. And I was pod number 4, which is the one that eats people.
Okay, so we really want to hear you say Feed Me Seymour.
Well, here's the thing. I wasn't the voice.
Not just
Seymour, and I can do it. But yeah. I was a puppeteer. Now, here's the thing.
I didn't realize I didn't do, wow.
It's impossible to perform that part without mechanical assistance if you're moving that puppet. The first puppet I used was so big that I could not lift it off the ground. The first pod 4, it only weighed maybe 80 pounds, but it was 6.5 feet long, and it was about 4.5 to 5 feet high.
Dang, that's big.
And I had to sit on the floor and use everything I had to manipulate it. But it was large enough so that people can go in the front.
Right.
And then they had an escape in the back. So you never saw a person come out. They just disappeared, which was cool. Awesome. And I would always open up and show them. That was the first time. That was with KD Musical Theater, same company that had me do Hair.
All right. Excellent.
And the next 2 times I did it with a company called 6th Street Playhouse, which is in Santa Rosa. And they actually, the guy who was their designer type, he was their everything guy, he bought the puppets from Santa Rosa JC. They had nearly professional, they were professional in operating puppets, and he refurbished them and he built them to fit me because I was cast.
No kidding.
And he fit. So the first one, the pod 4, it weighed 150 pounds.
150 pounds.
Because I had to add 50 pounds to it in order to make it work properly because it was smaller. She was still 5.5 feet long.
Right.
But she was much shorter and I would sit, we created a box where I could sit elevated, but I was with my legs straight out in front of me. The majority of the plant was resting on my legs. I was inside of it and I could open the mouth. I could gyrate it and I used my legs to pop the bottom lip. So basically, people always said the same thing. They said, I forgot that there was a person in there.
That is crazy.
And we would stage it so that he would, you know, the plant would give looks where the person was. Even if I couldn't see them, I knew where they were. And so it had gestures. I had an amazing cast. I did it with 6th Street once. Then they rented the plant to another company, a university, and they said, but you have to hire the actor who does the plant. And
I got
a job. Here it is. And then that was the third time. But the fourth time, I actually got to teach it to a bunch of high school kids. They rented the plant, and they said, we want to do the whole production. They said, we'd like to hire you, but we don't want our kids to do it. But we need someone to teach them how to do it. So I actually got to go in, and it was my first real theater teaching. I got to teach kids how to be, and it was awesome.
Now as you go through it, I imagine you'd be huffing and puffing if you're trying to do the voices. But
the thing is, the actor who does the voice really isn't looking at the plant, and the plant, of course, the person's plant. We had to learn to sync, and by the time the production was almost over. You never knew who started, whether I started moving or whether he started speaking, and that's when you're grooving right there. That's it. And people don't know.
I didn't know. And I run a theater, and I never, like I've said many times before.
Well, guess what show you should be doing?
I should be doing. Yes, of course, a lot of theaters do it here in town.
Yeah, but none would have me.
I guarantee you, Tim would love to build it. Would love to build that puppet. But it's amazing that people don't know that, because it takes a team to do theater in the first place.
Now, on Broadway, it's a mechanical.
Well, they got
the
money.
There's multiple people manipulating that puppet, and the voice is a separate entity. There's someone. I mean, it can be done.
That is crazy.
It can be done, but I don't think it can be done as well. And the person who could do it, they're a master, and I would bow to them. Not really, but I would.
Yeah, that's crazy. And how many hours does it take to get ready for something like that?
For that one, because that one was such a physical part, that one was constant, because I had two life changes. Lots of resting, working out on a regular basis. Had to take care of myself, because plant doesn't work. There's no play. One took the first time. I just got thrown into it, so I didn't know. Oh, no, I've done it four times. Same company twice. Yeah, I lost count.
so much fun.
Yeah, but on a day, I would get there like close to an hour before, because I also did the maintenance on the plant, so any damage had to be repaired, I'd repair it. I'd get the plant ready. I'd get myself ready. I'd make sure everything. Yeah, and there's a lot of, because once you're in it, you're in it. So everything has to be set before you go on. So it could take about an hour.
Is there like fans or something in there to keep it cool?
No. You can't, because that's sound. You know that. You can't have white noise. So
you must have been hot.
Hot. The first plant was an oven. It had no ventilation. The other ones, there was a little better. But I drank a gallon of water per production for the first one. A gallon, and was still thirsty.
That is definitely dedication. Yeah. I tell you, we're going to get more with Wendell in just a little bit. We'll be right back. Playhouseville.
Hey, y'all. Danny B here with you. Hey, are you looking for the next thing to do for your next company party, or maybe even wedding or birthday party? Well, check it out. Aardvark's got karaoke available for your pleasure. Yes, that's right. You could become the next star. Sing all the favorites of country, rock, and pop. Hey, check them out at aardvark-ent.com or call them at 208-658-3000. Once again, Aardvark Entertainment is here for you.
All right, Playhouseville, we are back right here with the one and only Wendell Wilson. And we're talking about, obviously, being a puppet in Little Shop of Horrors, and how much it was grueling to be actually in that puppet. What does it take for the team?
Yeah, and that's the thing I forgot to mention earlier. The biggest part about it is you depend so much on others, because you're static and you're basically blind. The majority of the time, everything you do is from memory. So you count on your castmates and the stage crew to take care of you. Like, for instance, I actually had an incident in the first plant where I overheated. And
you didn't pass out, did you?
I started to.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't that I was dehydrated. It was that playhouse. And it was called a playhouse, by the way.
That's ironic.
It was called a playhouse.
That's excellent.
And the temperature inside the playhouse had to be about 80, which meant inside the plant it was about 110.
Wow.
And I just was drinking as much water as I could, and they were making sure I had all of what I needed. But for some reason that day, I just was overcome, and I started to pass out. And all I remember hearing was,
"Give me water, Seymour."
No. I heard somebody go, "He's not moving. He's not moving." And so at that point, I woke up and I was okay, right? What I didn't know was the director of this company. It was a kid adult show. I was the adult, but it was a kid production. She had started coming down the stands from the seats, and she was about to vault over the railing because she knew. But it's like that is that kind of thing where someone's that close. And when I would be on the other shows,
right.
If someone noticed that there was a part, like I at one point with the second pause that I did, and I did those for three shows.
Right.
The last scene, Pod 4 gets up out of the box and walks to the front of the stage.
Oh.
And we worked it out where they take the lights down, the curtains come down, and I get out to the back of the box, and I'm crouched down. And then at the last minute, I get to the front of the box, I'm crouched down. And then when they say whatever they say during the songs, I actually rise up, and they had a long skirt. And I had tentacles.
That's roots, awesome.
And roots. And so I would just like come down to the front and I'd be, you know, talking and he'd be singing. And people would, like, someone, one of the productions, someone screamed. It was so great.
Oh, wow.
But like I said, when that happened, I needed someone to make sure that I wasn't stepping on a tentacle, because if I stepped on a tentacle,
you're down.
And walk forward, I would go down, because like I said, that's 150 pounds that would just take me off. And I could fall off of a stage that's about 6-7 feet in the air.
That would hurt.
So I always had so many people taking such good care of me. I never had to think about whether I was safe or not. All I had to think about was doing my job, which was bringing Audrey 2 to life. And there was never an incident, but I always know, I could always tell when someone was using their foot to kick a root out of the way, or when I could feel a hand, you know, kind of gently nudge me to make sure I was going in the right direction. So to do that show and as a puppeteer, you depend so much more on the people around you than right. even your talent, because it is such a dangerous position to be in when you can't see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's, you know, definitely
it's,
no
it's sight. I blind people out there, people who have lost a sense, bless their hearts, because I did not. That was the one part I didn't enjoy. It was scary every night, but I always knew I had people around me to take care of me. Like I said, it was at least an hour before each show. And after the show, I went home. Other people went out. I would go out for a little bit, but I would go home and I would go to bed because I'd be drained. And it was my job to be 100%. And it was the safety of everyone and myself. So I would, it was doing that show was an all day job. And that was, by the way, when I did not have a now almost 7-year-old son. So it was okay for me to just hibernate. My son Maxwell. So it was okay for me to hibernate and just do. When I did that show, I disappeared for 3 months. My friends didn't even hear from me.
That's crazy. During that show. So, I mean, you've done quite a few shows here at the Playhouse.
Yes, I have.
And what? Give kind of an idea of somebody who's up and coming in the acting. What is the secrets to get prepared for a show?
It depends on the kind of actor you are. Everyone's different. Some people, like the young girl, Madeline.
Yep.
Madeline Merritt is her name, that I met her mother and I dated her. I basically raised from 12 till we drove her to college, and she's an amazing actress. This kid could cold read better than anyone I've ever seen in my life. She could walk in, pick up a script, cold read, she's cast. I'm like, who are you?
Wow. That's awesome.
Some people are like that. People like me, I'm what's called a method actor.
Okay.
I have to become in order to be. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, but I understand.
I'm not my character until I have my costume. I'm not my character until I have my wig. I'm not my character until I have my prop. But I need that, because I need that to feed me. Because I believe my style of acting is I disappear, and the person that I'm supposed to be is the person that you see. If you see me, I'm not doing my job. Right. So, and I can't not be me without the stuff that makes me not me. So if it's a hat, like when I did the detective.
Yeah.
That hat was so critical to me that if there was a show where I didn't have that hat, it wouldn't have worked.
I remember in rehearsals, you needed a hat.
I wore the hat.
I was like, And I'm a kind of, I'm like what you're talking mm-hmm. about. I just snap in and out of mm-hmm. character like that. Mm-hmm. And it's great to hear the different styles mm-hmm. because as an owner of the Playhouse, you just don't know what kind of actor is going to be coming in. So
right.
we got to make sure we have that part and having mm-hmm. that hat,
uh-huh.
you transform like instantaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to have that hat. And I, you know, it's and when I did the sheriff
or the sheriff,
when
too.
I did the sheriff, you know, I had to have that coat. I'm sorry.
You're right.
The you coat, had everything was fun until I put that coat on, and that was it. That just like it wasn't a barrier. It was like a curtain.
That is wild.
That's what
so
it felt like to
you
me.
You symbolize an article of clothing to kind of transfer you into a character.
Right.
That is amazing.
The wig for Donnie.
Donnie Dolce.
How you yes. do? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And for people who don't know, Donnie Dolce, he was the DJ MC in Tony and Tina's that we did here at the Playhouse. You did a fantastic job for that.
Thank you.
So give me some more information about what else you have to do to get ready for preparation for a show.
I mentioned it briefly, but rest is so important. People don't realize, who don't do this, they don't realize how incredibly emotionally and physically draining this is. Protecting yourself emotionally is critical,
especially here we're like 3 hours in character.
Yeah, protecting yourself emotionally is critical because you can't have bad emotions around you or in you when you're getting into it. And once you're into it, you need to have support. So basically, you have to have people okay with what you're doing. You need to feel that because we get the feedback, we see the eyes, we see all that, and so you need the emotional, but the physical part, I mean, it is draining. And not even if you're not into to do a physical thing. Like, most of the time, Donnie Dolce sat there, you know, behind the thing. He was the DJ.
Yeah.
But I swear, after each show, I was tired because I put out so much energy, you know, to reach out. You know, you put out all the energy to reach the audience so you can pull them in so that they're not sitting in a theater. They're at a wedding.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They're watching these crazy families go at each other. You know, they're going, what the heck? I mean, those two, what was it? The two ladies that were dancing over on the side.
Oh,
one
yes.
of the productions.
Yes.
And, you know, I walk over as Donnie Dolce. You know, mm-hmm. now, honestly, okay, Wendell's a little bit outspoken, even though I'm an introvert.
Uh-huh.
I have no problem going up with, hey. But Donnie was like, hey, ladies, how you doing? Oh, yeah, how you doing? I'm all over them. I'm like, I'm winking at them, talking to them. You know, I'm like that's coming from me to them and making, you know, and being inclusive in the production.
Right.
And I think that is why the rest is important. The emotional support is important because it allows you to give 110% because that's what they came here for. They didn't come here to watch real life, because if they came to watch real life, I can give them that for free.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we brand this theater to being a place of transformation where people come in and escape their worries for the day.
Exactly.
And we do. We put in so much effort, and I'm the same way. I'm tired as well. But for a young actor coming in, what are some of the techniques or some of the exercises you do to get ready?
A lot of it is vocal work. Your voice is important. If you're not heard, unless you're doing a silent part,
right.
What are you going to do? warm your, like you just heard, just suddenly is a frog. You got to warm up. You got to play, connect with your cast. I used to think it was so dumb doing improv games with my cast before I was going, oh my God, leave me alone. But you do those and you connect with your cast. So you guys are a unit. It's like being
right.
in the military. You've got to be a unit. Your that person on your left needs to know what you're going to be doing. They need to know what the person on the right of you is going to be doing so they can do their job and not worry about that. If nobody's worrying about what the other person's doing, then they'll do 110% as opposed to doing 90%.
Right.
And that's what is, you know, get involved. Be you know, connect with your cast. Connect with your space. Walking the space is huge. Knowing where you're going to be. Knowing
Absolutely.
Know your interests. And I'm really bad about this. I'm not going to lie. Know your lines.
Yes.
Know your lines. Here's the thing. If you put in the work,
mm-hmm.
then you can have fun. because you will not have fun until you've done the work. Because if you come in every show not knowing your lines, then it's nothing but work and it's no fun. My first production.
Right.
I never learned my lines. Wasn't my fault.
Ah.
The director was my improv teacher. And I really wish I could remember the name of the show, but this is how much of a mental block I created it.
You blocked it. You put it way, way. It's back.
It's
back
the Matchmaker. The Matchmaker.
Oh, he remembers. Uh-oh.
No, what's the play, The Matchmaker? What was her name?
I don't remember.
Because the play is named after her, but it's The Matchmaker.
Okay.
And the director kept rewriting my part.
Okay.
Like, because she wanted me to do improv. So right. I didn't have lines. My character didn't exist.
Right.
She created my character. But she kept rewriting. Every day I walked into rehearsal, I had an entire new script. And she wanted me to do every line from a different entrance. And this playhouse had at least 20 entrances. I'm not joking. And I did. And so I ended up doing, Marlon Brando who did this? I had cue cards. One of those actors, was it Marlon Brando? One of them.
Right.
I would write my cue. I finally surrendered. I wrote all my lines down on cue cards and put them all over at each end. So I know when I go to an entrance, grab a card, memorize. Go.
There you go.
My first
little tip from a senior actor here.
Yeah.
For you.
You do what you have to do. Prepare. If you're not good at memorizing, then do that. You know what? It doesn't hurt. It works. Do whatever you need to do, but be prepared. Know where your stuff is. You know where you need to be. But the biggest thing is just have fun. Because if it's not fun, don't waste your time. It's not worth the money. It's not worth anything. It's just not worth it because this is a lot of work.
And that's what it's all about, especially here at the Playhouse. If you're not having fun, you're so close to the audience members, they're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. Preparation is key. And having fun is great, but like you were mentioning before, learn your lines, mm-hmm. do your business, do everything you need to do. Mm-hmm. Because we are a professional theater here, so that mm-hmm. is a business
mm-hmm.
of you coming in here and doing your thing. So any actors that are out there that want to be better than they are, don't take it as a hobby.
Mm-mm.
Treat it as a business. Treat it as something that you're a career that you want to pursue. Because if you don't put in the work and you decide to go to Hollywood or go to these different mm-hmm. places, they're going to see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
What else does all the actors do to get ready?
Well, it's not so much about getting ready, I think. Speaking for myself personally,
uh-huh.
one of the things that adds to me, to my craft, is all of the other things that I do that help me be a better actor. I'm a model. I do commercial print work. I have been a photographer. I've been a videographer. I have done trade for lessons as a computer IT person. All of these things go into making us more well-rounded and more flexible. And being able to be flexible is critical key number one in theater acting. You have to be ready for whatever comes. So the more stuff, even stuff that's outside of the acting world, the more stuff that you bring to the table,
uh-huh.
then the more prepared you are for any of the eventualities that will happen during any given show.
Yeah, and that is important to be able to you know, get yourself well-rounded and take on any situation that comes to you.
Yeah, I was even stage crew. I did stage crew in high school.
That's excellent.
I was a stage manager, so I know all of, you know the ins and outs of it make you better at the job. If you know what they go through, then you appreciate them. You appreciate what you do. Makes it easier.
Right. And that helps method acting too as well. If you start learning a lot of different, you know, occupations
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and also what makes people tick.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with somebody from makeup or somebody yep. from wardrobe, you know how to talk to them.
Yep. I've always make friends with your makeup person and your customer, especially your costume designer or director. Trust me, I have never looked better than when I made friends. And I'm not saying do it for that reason. Do it because it's fun to connect with everybody, cast and crew. But believe me, they take extra good care of those people who they like. I've always had the best costumes. Yes. I've always had the best makeup jobs because I appreciate everything that they do for me and know that without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
And we have an amazing costume designer in Maryland
here at
the Playhouse.
Yep, what she did for Donnie was amazing. She hooked me up big time. Trust me, if you didn't see Donnie Dolce, you missed out. Ladies, you missed out because Donnie was looking for you.
There's the little Donnie, and we'll put his number at the end of this podcast.
1-800 the Love Master.
That is awesome. All righty. I'm so glad that you had an opportunity to come here. What's the best thing you enjoyed here at the Playhouse? What's your favorite character?
My favorite character? The Sheriff was just a lot of fun because that was just a fun production.
It was.
That was a fun show. But
especially when the gunshots went outside and almost got arrested.
Yeah, there you go. Where's the director? He just got arrested. Oh, my God. Okay. It have to be Donnie Dolce, man.
You really enjoyed that?
I really did because it was improv for me every night. I had lines, but it was improv because the thing, and I'm improv based.
Right.
Bottom line, that is my training. That is my style of acting. I think all acting is improv because you'll never know what's really going to happen until you get on that stage, and you better be ready for something. And I got to interact with the audience every night. I mean, that was my job, and it was fun. I mean, because I got to feed off of them, and you know, they throw something to me, I throw something back, you know, and it. I could tell people did not feel they were in a theater. They felt like they were at a wedding and that I was the DJ and that they were like, oh my God, he's coming over here. Jesus Christ. Oh God, he's talking to me.
I know.
So it was great. I mean, it was really good. No, but yeah, Donnie was probably my favorite.
That is awesome. I tell you what, we're going to be doing our summer camp coming up where we're actually going to teach people improv because we feel a lot of actors need to do it in case something happens or they blank out, boom, they can improv. Mm-hmm. If they don't know how to quick off their feet, then you're going to have a problem.
Yep.
And that's why improv-based actors here at the Playhouse, most of our actors here are improv-based because of the closeness we have with all the people. And it's a very, very good thing to have. One thing, how do you feel and like working here at the Playhouse?
I love working at the Playhouse. It's where you work is as important as who you work with. And the Playhouse is a great place to work. I love it when I come someplace and I don't know anybody. And I didn't know you. I didn't know your audience. You know, I only knew one person. I didn't know the cast. And probably right away, I felt like I was at home. And that's the thing about this place is you feel like you're at home. You walk in and you don't feel like you shouldn't be here or there's someplace you shouldn't go. You feel like every place in here is for you. And so you just come and I always had a good time when I came to the Playhouse. Yeah. Always.
And we appreciate you being here as well. And one thing we do practice really hard here is positive environment and a positive work area for our actors. And also there's nobody here with a chip on their shoulder, is there?
No. There was no ego. Except for we're gonna have Donnie Dolce, come on now, please, baby. But as you know, I mean, everyone knows that they're coming here to do a job, which is to entertain. You know, so there's no time for it to have a chip on your shoulder. If you have a chip on your shoulder, you don't belong here, because you're not adding. And everyone who comes in, all the cast members, they add. Everyone who walks through the ads and ads, and it just builds and builds and builds. And even the audience members, like, this is probably the only place I think I've ever worked where I didn't get negativity from the audience.
Well, thanks, Wendell, for being here, man. Really appreciate you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I hope you had a good time. Playhouse, don't forget to check us out on Facebook. You can follow us there and like us as well. And go to Instagram and follow us there. Go to PlayhouseBoise.com and check out all the great things happening there as well. Thanks a lot, Playhouseville. This is Danny B. with Playhouse Unplugged. Have a great night and God bless.